Malachim Beis, Perek Ches, Pasuk Vav. So Gehazi is telling the king, Yehoram, the story of the Tchias HaMesim, and along comes the woman of Shunem and her son who had experienced Tchias HaMesim. Perfect timing. Vayish'al HaMelech lo Isha. And so the king asked the woman. Now, perhaps he had already asked her earlier about what was going on in her life, as to the fact that she came to seek an audience about her property. So now the king is asking her about the veracity of the story of the Tchias HaMesim. Batasaperlo. And she confirmed it. She told him the details about what had happened. Remember, this is also the woman who saw through Gehazi before, and now Gehazi was the instrument of her salvation at this moment. So give Gehazi even some credit. Vayiten lo ha-melech saris echad lemor. And so the king gave her one officer. So that's a pretty big deal, that he's appointing an officer on her behalf to look out for her interests. And he gave orders saying, Hoshev es kol asher lo, return all that is hers. So the officer, Saris Echad, is supposed to save the day and return her property to her. But the Radak says, and this is interesting because you don't see this in the other Mefarshim, the Radak takes the word Saris quite literally. And so he says, Saris Echad kitargumo guza chad, but who Saris kimashmo shenichrusu beitzav. He was castrated. He was a court personage who was a man who is not a man, as they say, back in ancient texts. Now, it's usher to do such a thing. So the Radak says this is actually a sign of how low the dynasty of Omri and Ahav and Yehoram had come. That even though it was absolutely usher to do such a thing to a male, to castrate by cutting off the testes, but nevertheless, there were some of these servants in the Malchei Yisrael's palaces, not because the Jews actually did this mutilation to them, but rather they bought them from the surrounding nations. Or if they were medically saris, because sarisim machmas choli, and they were there in the king's homes. Now, why do you want a castrated man to be a servant? So the obvious reason, the reason they were used throughout the Middle East and also used in the Malchus Yisrael, kidei lamod bifnei hanoshim, they were used to be the shomrei hanoshim, they were used to be the servants in the seraglios and harems of the king, because which man do you trust with all of your wives and concubines? Only the man who you can be certain is not going to betray you with your women. And so these sarisim were in fact household servants that were of some use. Now, the Malbim says that he sent the officer first to talk to the machazik who had taken the fields in Chazakah, because the guy who's currently in charge of the field, the Malbim takes a more prosaic view, to say that this has to do with the legal proceedings. He sent an officer because the first thing the guy's going to claim is that he bought it. Right? He's going to say, look, it's my field. I got a Kenyan out of it because I had a chazakah and I ate on it and I used all of the produce and nobody stopped me. So that's halachically chazakah. So she needs to bring with her a raya that the field is hers and that there was a reason she hadn't come back and protested. So the officer is going to have to do that. Now, once Gehazi had testified, says the Malbim, to her bona fides, he also said where she lived, because he had been to the house. And that was proof that the house was in fact hers. So the officer going back is testifying on behalf of the king's palace that this woman's claim to the property is upheld, that it is her property, that the king has heard her plea, and that Mechuzak, the one who has taken hold of the field, is going to lose it back to her. despite the laws of chazaka that had happened before. Now, he also points out mathematically that the first 3 years don't count towards the cheshbon and wouldn't count towards the chazaka, because the war was already some 4 years prior. So what he's suggesting actually is that this might have even been even longer after the war was over, is what the Malbim does with the timeline a little. But putting that aside, so the officer is told, or the Sarius is told, return her property, the Ace Kultuos Hasada, and also all of the produce that grew in the field. Miyom Azva Es Haaretz Ve'ad Ota, from the day that she abandoned the land, that she left the land until now. So the woman had only asked for her property back, but the king now demands and commands that even the produce of the years of her absence also has to be returned. So we see that Gehazi plays a positive role as an intermediary for the sake of this woman, and only Gehazi could have done it, according to the Malbim's explanation, that there was also proof of her owning the property. The only one who would stand up for her was Gehazi, because all of the B'nai Am that lived around her had abandoned her, and now in her moment of trying to get her property back. So the grand woman has been humbled. Gehazi has really been humbled. But Gehazi is still not done, because now he's going to go from bad to worse. Having fulfilled his purpose in the king's palace of Yehoram, now he's leaving the land of Israel to go to Aram. And we're going to see Gehazi behind the scenes a little bit in the next episode, which involves the king of Aram and a story that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had commanded back when Eliyahu was alive, saying who was going to get crowned and who was going to take the place of current kings, that there's going to be a man named Hazael who is going to eventually take the crown of Aram, and that there is a man who is going to uproot the dynasty of Achav and Omri from kingship in Yisrael as well. And all of that had been commanded to Eliyahu, but Elisha would be the one to fulfill it.